There's been a lot of talk in Wisconsin lately about brain drain, when young people get their education in Wisconsin but leave once they graduate, taking their talent with them.
Our next guest wrote a letter to the editor at the Capital Times in Madison to explain his decision to leave the state for graduate school, even though he was accepted at UW-Madison.
Paul Ahrens got his undergraduate degree at UW-Green Bay. He's currently a Cornell University graduate student. Paul, welcome to Central Time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's start with your background. Are you from Wisconsin originally?
I came from a military family, so I moved up and down the east coast of the U.S. most of my life, but ended up in Wisconsin in 2002 after my dad retired from the military. And I've been in Green Bay specifically ever since 2005 until 2015 when I just moved.
And do you think of Wisconsin as your home state at this point?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely feels like home.
And you're in New York now. Do you feel like you missed Wisconsin so far? I know it hasn't been super long, I don't think.
Yeah, I miss it. I'm still missing it a lot, missing the friends and the people I knew there, but also just Wisconsin in general, the culture there. I plan on going back after I'm done with school here. And, yeah, because it is. I mean, Ithaca's nice. It's a wonderful place here, too. But it just doesn't feel like home. Moving around so much, I never really knew what it really felt like to have a place that felt like home, and now Wisconsin does. So to be away from it, I found myself missing it. So I hope to go back one day.
And part of that was you got your undergraduate degree at UW-Green Bay. Can you talk about your experience there?
Yeah, it was a great university. The teachers were always extremely helpful with anything I needed. They dedicated themselves inside and outside of the classroom. Their courses were amazing and gave me a lot of good opportunities to get active, either politically or with the community, through student organizations and so on. And, obviously it was good enough school to help me get into Cornell. So it was, when I look back, it really was a great school. Even a lot of the coursework we have at Cornell, I've noticed, it's rigorous, but sometimes I feel like it's not really much less rigorous than the classes I was taking in Green Bay. And I don't know if that was, more pertaining to the actual program I had, the specific degree, or just the university in general. But I really do feel like it prepared me really well, made me a better person. It's just helped me so much now and just with being able to get to grad school.
Well, we're moving in closer to the brain drain topic now. You came down to two different options, Cornell, where you're at, and UW-Madison. Now, why those two?
They're both great schools. At UW-Madison, I was planning on going for a double major degree, which would have been in public affairs and urban planning. And, UW-Madison has one of the best public affairs schools in the country, and it was home to me again. I could stay in Wisconsin. Madison wasn't too far from Green Bay. And I was familiar with Madison. I really liked it there, too. Then in Cornell, I applied to a program called Industrial and Labor Relations, and that was a single master's program. And I applied to that because that was one of the best industrial and labor relations schools in the country. And, it was Cornell, so having an Ivy League brand on your resume never hurts either. But what really pushed me to make the decision... Cornell was able to pay for my entire first semester of tuition, and then UW-Madison was only able to give me $2,000 to $3,000 of grant money, which really wouldn't have even paid for a semester of school, and I didn't have any extra money saved up. I was already planning on working once I started grad school, but I just needed something that would pay for tuition. And that was a big part that pushed me to Cornell, since they could pay for my tuition. But also, it did kind of feel, grad school was going to be tough, the money was going to be tight, and I didn't want to be living in a place that I had all these other unstable financial things to worry about, such as, is my school going to be, how's the budget going to be next year? Is there going to be money for me to get grants or fellowships to be able to pay for school? And so just the fact that, there's obviously still different political workings happening in New York and Ithaca here, but there's no broad attack on the financial structure of the university, and to the fact that Cornell was not only able to offer me funding, but also I'd be living in a stable environment to be able to just focus on my graduate degree. And then hopefully be able to come back to Wisconsin and turn that into something good.
Talking to Paul Ahrens, UW-Green Bay graduate who's now a grad student at Cornell University, sees himself as part of a brain drain from Wisconsin. And let's get more into that point, Paul. As you mentioned, you saw the differing financial aid as part of a bigger picture, a symptom of a different priority on education here in Wisconsin. Can you talk more about what recent budget issues made you think about how the state thinks of higher education here?
Well, it was the budget proposal and the Wisconsin state budget for 2015-2017. Originally it was proposed $300 million, but it later got changed to $250, which is still substantial, but a $250 million cut from the University of Wisconsin system. And, you know, I worked in student government at the time there, as well as other organizations that co-students as well as just community members would help out with. And we saw this, how these effects were already starting to ripple. I mean, some professors had either taken buyouts or just gone to different universities or schools for different reasons. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about which programs we're going to, well, not necessarily which programs we're going to have to be cut, but the programs we're going to probably have to be cut, but which departments or which, how, you know, what kind of the way the money is going to be divided up among the schools. And I mean, I wasn't there by the time it finally went through and started making real effects, but it didn't sound, none of us thought it was going to be good. And I had heard that, you know, UW-Madison specifically, there's a lot of talk about what was going on there. They're going to have to start, you know, starting to increase the amount of out-of-state enrollment and also cut back on the amount of grant money that they were giving graduate students. And that was one thing I read, so that's what made me suspect that the reason UW-Madison wasn't able to offer me a lot of money was potentially because they were preparing for the looming budget crisis that may happen. That was just something that stuck out to me.
Now, somebody listening, maybe not involved with the university system, might say, well, too bad we lost this grad student here, another student there, a professor there. Why should this be something, do you think, that people around the state should worry about, this wider brain drain issue?
Well, because it adds up. We don't know how great these if we're not talking about specifics, some of these professors we're losing, they can be some of the best professors. I mean, even in school at Cornell, I'm constantly reading papers or we're talking about studies in the past, things that were performed at the University of Wisconsin system. It's one of the best state university systems there is. And so when people leave, I mean, that's the people are the institution. It's not just formalities and rules, the constitution and bylaws. You know, it's the people who make it function from a day-to-day basis. And when we lose people, it adds up. And as I said, you know, I want to go back to Wisconsin, but I can't make that happen. I can do as much as I can within my ability to increase the probabilities, but at the end of the day, if there's no jobs in Wisconsin for what I want to do after I get out of school, I'm not going to be able to go to Wisconsin because I need to eat, I need to pay rent. You know, at the end of the day, we go where we can make a decent living and also live with ourselves. And Wisconsin's losing students and it's losing professors and these things are going to add up, and again, it's not even just the money. It's a sense of demoralization, a sense of feeling like you're being attacked, a sense that you feel like the people who are supposed to be leading you and taking care of you are not at all. That they, at times, it feels like that they don't even care. And so again, it's not again like people say that, you know, you put your morals on your budget or something like that. You put, you know, budget your morality. We've all heard kind of phrases like that, and it really became apparent that way. And I'm sure the people who support and the people who are advocating in favor of the budget believe that it was a good thing. But the way it was for people who didn't believe it was good, we felt attacked. We felt that the foundation of our community was being hacked at. And that to me speaks much deeper than just, a $250 million budget cut, you know, shared governance and tenure maybe be taken from state law. or even talking about the quantity of students and professors that are leaving because, again, you know, I said I came from a military family where I've moved at least 14 or 15 times in my life to different houses or different cities, and I know what it's like to not have that stability. And also that I know what it's like to feel like I have a home. And to me, the stability is what helps create the feeling of home. So without stability, I mean, there's, I don't know, it's hard to feel anything else that's really that great in life. I mean, stability is what we thrive on. I think it's underrated in our society.
Paul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
That was Paul Ahrens, a Cornell graduate student who says he's an example of Wisconsin's brain drain.
Coming up next, we'll hear what Wisconsin survey respondents had to say about who should pick the state superintendent of schools here in the state.